Live Creative Now, episode 95.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hello, I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst and creativity instigator, and author of The Creative Sandbox Way, here to address all your questions about living a full-color creative life. Whether you think of yourself as not artistic, not creative, which is a lie, or you think of yourself as an artist of any kind, or anything in between, no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive. It's how you change your life, and it's how you change the world. Before we get started with today's episode, I want to invite you to join me tomorrow, Thursday, February 9th, for a free creativity workshop, Born to Create, Why Your Creative Play is Essential, Not Self-Indulgent. I do these workshops periodically, about once a month or so, and if you have had a hard time getting yourself to do the creative things that you would most love to be doing, this workshop is for you. You will learn the surprising truth about why you feel resistance to the thing you love to do. Crazy, right? You love to do it. Why do you resist it so much? You will learn why. You will learn how to make every creative block your friend, I kid you not, and you will learn the unexpected science of how creative play affects the brain. Neuroscience, folks. You will never look at creative play the same way again. It's about 90 minutes. It's totally free. And if you stick around to the end, I have a special goodie for you. And yes, there will be a replay for a limited time, but the link to the replay only goes to people who register for the workshop. So go do that at freecreativityworkshop.com. That's freecreativityworkshop.com. And I will see you tomorrow. Back in early January, I got an email from someone named Brett over at proflowers.com. And it was kind of cool. He wrote, "Now that the holidays have passed, we're calling upon some of our favorite creators, crafters, and calligraphists to help prepare for the next major milestone in 2017, Valentine's Day." And he continued, "As part of this fun initiative, we'd like for you to dust off your dip pen, grab your ink and favorite paper, and get ready to create a handcrafted card for your own special Valentine. To help jumpstart your creativity, Pro Flowers would like to send you a bouquet of your choice from our Valentine's Day collection that you can include within the photo shoot for your DIY Valentine's Day card, or even incorporate within the card itself." So once all the blog posts from all these invited crafters and artists and calligraphists have gone live, they will select their favorite images that feature their bouquets and put them together in a roundup post for the Pro Flowers blog, which could potentially bring some eyeballs and traffic to my site. And they claim to have 150,000 monthly readers, plus their social media team will be on the lookout for the hashtag ProFlowers to regram and repin and any posts that go to social media. So, you know, it's mighty tempting. I'd get a free bouquet, I'd get an incentive to create some art, and possibly get some visibility, which all sounded kind of tempting. So my hesitations were,
It was an external deadline, which always makes me a little nervous. But I thought, okay, fine. I'll do it. So I said yes. And I picked a bouquet called 30 Purple Tulips because I love tulips and I love purple, which if you've been to my site, will not surprise you. And everything was all hunky-dory. And then reality hit. Da-na-na-na. Reality bites. The first thing that happened is Brett over at Pro Flowers had asked me for a requested delivery date. And this is where my very poor time planning muscles reveal themselves. I just didn't really know what date to specify. And I said, how about January 30th? Thinking that, hey, I would be home from my week in DC, but I totally forgot to take into account that I would be leaving again on February 3rd for my anniversary trip. Though to be fair, I might not have actually scheduled my anniversary trip at that point because when I got the initial email from Brett, I was recovering from the flu and we had just canceled our original plans for our anniversary trip, which was actually the first weekend in January. And we hadn't actually rescheduled it yet, so I can't remember. But as it turned out, the week that the flowers were delivered, and I think they were delivered maybe on Tuesday the 31st, anyway, it was a short week. So just when the flowers were at their peak, I was basically scrambling to tie up all the loose ends that I needed to tie up so that I could be gone for 4 days. And I had no time to make a card or take photographs. And although, of course, the smart thing would have been to start work on the card way back in January, the minute I knew I had the assignment, did I do that? No, I did not. And meanwhile, if you go over to the show notes over at livecreativenow.com/095, because this is episode 95, livecreativenow.com/095, you will find a picture of the bouquet that I picked, which is 30 purple tulips, and they are arranged in this gorgeous bouquet. Well, the 30 tulips that arrived in a box, beautifully shipped, by the way. I was very impressed with Pro Flowers. I'm not getting any kickbacks or anything like that, but if I wanted to order a bouquet, I would absolutely, if I had money to throw at ordering a bouquet, I would absolutely go with them. They did a beautiful job. But the tulips that arrived in the box did not magically arrange themselves into a gorgeous bouquet that looked like the photo. No siree, Bob. The flowers themselves were beautiful, but my flower arranging skills are essentially non-existent. I have never taken a flower arranging class. I do not have native flower arranging skills. So as a bouquet, they looked like a big droopy mess of beautiful, tightly budded tulips. And then, I mean, the tulips themselves were absolutely gorgeous, but the bouquet was crazy, looked stupid. And then just as the flowers were coming into their peak, we left for Monterey on our anniversary moon, which, by the way, is what we call the anniversary of our honeymoon, in case you were wondering. And we had a wonderful time, and I totally forgot about the flowers and my commitment until we were driving home. And I started going into a tailspin of a panic. And then I walked in the door and there were the beautiful purple tulips in their stupidly arranged bouquet, very sadly past their prime. And I didn't have a card because I hadn't made one yet. Ah, massive panic. So what to do? Do-do-do-do-do, Creative Sandbox way to the rescue. Well, this is where I say, you may have heard the saying, don't let perfect be the enemy of done. how many times have I actually let perfect be the enemy of done? Countless times. If I had a dollar for every time I let perfect be the enemy of done, I would probably be a very, very rich woman. I have had some brilliant idea for a card or some brilliant idea for a present for someone that I wanted, you know, I wanted it to be so spectacularly off the charts wonderful. And I kept building it up in my mind, you know, and building it up in my mind and building it up in my mind that so much that there was just no way that I would ever in a million years be able to live up to the vision that I had created. So guess what happened? I did nothing. Nada. Zip. Zero. Zilch. Countless times. So, so embarrassing. Worst failing in the world. But this week, the beautiful thing is that I had a deadline. And I didn't just have a deadline. I had a deadline with external accountability. I had a commitment to somebody else. And when you have a deadline combined with external accountability to somebody else, you can't get away with doing nothing. Though, believe me, I thought about it. I would be lying if I said that part of me didn't want to just bail on the whole thing. I really did. But I had made a commitment and I was going to follow through if it killed me. But I had two problems. First, the card. I had no card. And second, the past their peak flowers. What was I going to do about that? For the first problem, the fact that I had no card and I had to come up with a card like immediately, my gremlins were going nuts, telling me about all the amazing genius works of art and masterful masterpieces of calligraphy that other people were going to be creating, had already created, no doubt, back in January, and we're all happily done with. Nothing that I could create would possibly compete. No way. That was truth. But as I reminded myself, this wasn't a competition. Now, of course, in some ways it was because, you know, my photos might very well be ignored by the pro flowers people. And that would mean that I wouldn't get any of those potential eyeballs and any of that potential traffic to my website. But you know what? I was never guaranteed any of those eyeballs or any of that traffic in the first place. And I didn't sign up for this to compete. Anyway, I didn't sign up for this as a competition. And besides, a core piece of my message, of my purpose here on the planet to spread this message, is that the purpose of creative expression, the purpose of art, of creating, of creativity, is not to impress anybody, is not to win awards or make money, etc., etc., etc. The purpose is joy. The purpose is to fill your well, is to fuel your tank, to recharge, to restore, to refresh you. And all that other stuff, you know, acclaim, validation, awards, money, whatever, all that external validation, that stuff is great. We love that stuff. Believe me, I love that stuff. I love that stuff just as much as anybody else, probably more. But it is the frosting. It's not even the frosting. It's the sprinkles on the frosting. It is not the cake. It's the gravy. Because if you have that stuff If you have all the external validation in the world, but you don't have the joy, what's the point? And really, if someone looks at a piece that I've created and thinks, wow, Melissa's piece is pretty crappy. Well, you know what? Maybe someone else will look at that same piece and think, hey, maybe I could do that. Because it's crappy, maybe it will make it feel accessible to someone else. And that would make me really happy. This, by the way, is really, really different from how I used to think about my art. I used to want nothing more than to be seen as a genius, as, you know, a master, as the peak of excellence. That used to be my number one dream, more than happiness. I wanted excellence. I wanted genius more than happiness. And why did I want that so badly? What did I think it was going to give me? And I've been thinking about this a lot lately. And I think that I wanted it so badly because I thought that it would bring me happiness. Why did I think that it would bring me happiness? I think that I thought that it would make me lovable, that it would bring me love, that it would make me worthy of love. So interesting to me, because now I understand that it is not perfection and, you know, genius and mastery and excellence that makes me worthy of being loved. So interesting. Now I see that it is actually my vulnerability and my imperfection that makes people feel able to connect with me. That if I were perfect, the more, if I were the more excellent and perfect, close to perfection or masterful or whatever those words are, the closer to perfect I were able to, could get on the scale of away from perfection and closer to perfection, the harder it would be for people to relate to me. And the less able it would be for people to connect with me, and the less lovable I would be. Interesting, huh? Anyway, with all of this stuff in mind, and with a deadline of about 20 minutes last night, and interestingly, nothing quiets the perfectionist gremlins like a really, really tight deadline. Seriously, if you have 20 seconds to create something, you're going to have to let it be crappy, because you can't create something spectacular in 20 seconds. You have to let go of the perfectionism when you have a tight deadline. I had about 20 minutes, maybe. I don't even remember. But it was like 8 o'clock at night, after dinner last night, and I had to create something. So I literally opened my sketchbook and I found a piece, a doodle. It was a combination of some watercolor pencil and, yeah, it was basically a page that had watercolor from watercolor pencils and some Pigma Micron marks, and I found some watercolor area, and I thought, you know what, I don't mind cutting this piece up. And I wrote "Be Mine" on it. This was not at all in the plan. This was what I felt like I could create in a short period of time last night. I wrote "Be Mine," and I doodled, and I cut it out with some scissors, and I doodled some more. Pure improvisation, pure creative sandbox mindset of let's just play and let it be. Let it be what it is going to be. We are not going to be perfectionistic about this. I did not pull out calligraphy pens and get fancy schmancy. I was just using a Pigma Micron marker and letting it be a creative sandbox, messy, playful doodle, play, creative sandbox. Then came the challenge of taking some flowers, a bouquet of flowers that were past their prime, and somehow making them look beautiful in a photo. The secret here is close-ups. Close-ups combined with guidepost number 3 from the Creative Sandbox Way, from my book. And guidepost number 3 is think quantity, not quality. Crank them out. If you have ever had your pictures taken, or which you probably have, everybody's had pictures taken, or if you've ever taken pictures, you know that if you take enough photos, if you try enough different camera angles, you are bound to get one or two good ones. If you've ever had portraits taken or wedding photos taken, you know that your photographer probably has took, you know, hundreds of photos. And most of those photos were not that great. But out of those hundreds of photos, there were a few fantastic ones, right? So that's what I did. I don't know how many I took. I didn't count, but I took a bunch of photos. And out of that bunch of photos, there were 4 that I thought came out kind of neat. And I posted those over in the show notes at livecreativenow.com/095. So you can see them there. And I'm kind of pleased with them. I'm kind of pleased with them. Are they the glorious spectacle that I envisioned when I first said yes to this project? Oh my gosh, goodness gracious, no. I was envisioning something completely different. But they're interesting. And by the way, what I was envisioning something with a really spectacular calligraphic masterpiece, which the card, the little card-like thing that I made is not at all. But again, the photos are interesting and they would not exist at all if I had not said yes and if I had not tackled these particular challenges. And that is creativity at work. It is encountering a challenge. And by the way, encountering a challenge is the exact same thing as encountering a block. Hello. That is creativity at work. Encountering a challenge, aka a block, and figuring out how to make it work. So whether you are making something for a sweetheart yourself for Valentine's Day, or just contemplating your next creative project, whatever it is, I hope that you will take a little inspiration from my experience, from this case study. Don't let perfect be the enemy of done. Just crank out something. Even if it's not as spectacular as you wish, at least you'll be able to say, I did that. And not a lot is more satisfying in life than being able to say those 3 little words, I did that. Even if you're not 100% thrilled with the outcome, I am not 100% thrilled with this outcome, but the fact is, there is an outcome. And the fact that there is an outcome is something to be proud of. So go get creative. That's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you are getting value out of this podcast, tell your friends about it. I would be so grateful if you would tell your friends and hop on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. Those ratings and reviews are really invaluable because they are how other people find out about the podcast, and they are how this movement grows. So when you tell people about the podcast and leave a rating and review over on iTunes, you are changing the world. In the meantime, don't forget to sign up for tomorrow's workshop at freecreativityworkshop.com. I look forward to seeing you there. And until next time, thanks again for joining me, and go get creating.
Live creative now.
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.